When the Lord calls a youth, he does it. My intention today is to really begin not in a historical narrative, but really to begin today with a very pastoral sermon. I hope that as we go through the book of Jeremiah, you can see and feel the pastor's heart that animates this mighty prophet of God. Now, he has a challenging assignment. About the best way I can illustrate this, friends, is consider if you were a member of a Bible-believing church in northern Iraq today. Or if you were one of those who had been ministered to by the Reformed Presbyterian Mission in Syria. And now you were on the run. And you were watching your culture come down in catastrophe around you. And it was your job to bear witness against the sins of your people for the glory of God. Today I want us to see that the Lord is active in this ministry. The prophets of old did not appoint themselves. Some of you may be familiar with students who are in the gifted programs at school. I've always thought that's kind of funny, and I hope you don't take that too much to heart. Well, I'm gifted, you know, as though other people are not. Prophets were called to their work. This was the work of prophesying. This is a word we don't use very much today. I want us to recover this idea of prophesying. There is a formal prophesying, a pulpit ministry by an ordained minister of the gospel. But friends, there is also a prophesying that is a proclamation that each and every member of the congregation is called to. Moses says in the book of Numbers, "Oh, that all God's people would prophesy." We need to see that this ministry of prophecy involves two things. It involves foretelling. This is the one that we usually think of. Predicting the future. Oftentimes when you meet people on the street and you talk to them about prophecy, they immediately think about predictions about the future or the end times or something like that. And there is an element of that in the prophets. But what I want us to see and feel the thrust of in Jeremiah's ministry is his foretelling. So there is foretelling, but there is also forthtelling. There is prediction, but there is also preaching. And I think that preaching and prophecy are two words that go together very closely in the scriptures. But they were called to this work, foretelling and forthtelling, by the sovereign Lord himself. Today we observe the commissioning of Jeremiah. And notice in verse 1 how he's described. Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, one of the priests of Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. We learn here that Jeremiah is a Benjamite. We learn that Jeremiah is the son of Hilkiah. And that Jeremiah has this important role of serving as a priest in some capacity in this small village just north of Jerusalem, a matter of a few miles, that's known as Anathoth. Today I want to apply this text in a particularly pastoral way. And I want to ask you, and especially young people, I have you in mind, how has God called you? How has God shaped your life by his eternal and abiding word? Now we need to begin by meditating on this matter of the prophets. David Murray, in his excellent book, Jesus on Every Page, says this: "The prophets were needed to stand between God and sinners, to speak God's word in God's place. God installed Moses as his first official prophet to Israel because the Israelites were too terrified to hear God speak directly to them. God took the initiative in the call of Moses into this office. The emphasis on the divine initiative, call, and authorization is evident in the lives of many Old Testament prophets. Friends, we need to see that God was at work in Israel. That even as the culture of Israel was in decadence and decay, that God had a purpose, that people would be confronted in their sin, and that he and that his people in the nation, in the unbelieving, more and more apostate nation of Israel, would be nourished. And so he came in the form of a commissioning to Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah. We need to see that the word of the Lord came. Look down at verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me. Now, friends, there's a dual sense in which we need to think of this statement and of this passage today. On one hand, we need to see that the calling of the Old Testament prophet is unique. And in this sense, I am not persuaded that God continues to call people to this particular office today. These prophets were immediately inspired by God. God gave them the specific words to say, and they either spoke or wrote the word of God in a unique and powerful way within the land of Israel. Now, this makes sense as we see that God has already established the nation of Israel as his kingdom. It is, if you will, a theocracy. It is a place where God immediately rules through those whom he himself is establishing in the various institutions of national life. But what I want us to see today is an application of these texts. I want us to see that the word of the Lord is in fact Jesus himself. Now, not Jesus in his incarnate form yet, but nonetheless the eternal Son of God who comes to Jeremiah and he sets him apart to a particular work. My burden today, and really the outline of this sermon, is around the particulars of Jeremiah's calling to his unique task. I want us to see today that we can apply Jeremiah's call to be a prophet in Israel to our own lives today. Because, friends, God is still in the business of calling people to particular acts of service. God is involved in calling people to use their mouths to bring the message of God to the world. And though we do confess that prophecy as a unique gift has ceased in the new covenant, we do nonetheless with confidence say we have the word of God and we are called to proclaim that word to the nations. One of the reasons that I bring up this distinction between the writing prophets and the speaking prophets is because I'm persuaded, friends, that we are in the midst of a massive shift back to being an oral culture. Now, when you go back in ancient history, you see that there was very little writing that took place. That physically writing things down was actually a very skilled, highly skilled, and highly paid job. That to be a scribe was an official job because scribes could write. And many people had never learned the practice of writing. They had learned to speak through oral means. And so as we look back in history, we see many oral cultures. And then things came and took place, such as the advent of the printing press, such as the emphasis on learning to read and write by the Christian church. And we see that literacy has dramatically improved around the world. But friends, one of the things that's happening, and I would encourage you to meditate on this in your own life, is that we are in the midst of a shift, once again, from writing as the primary way that we interact with information to pictures, to spoken words. It's amazing. You go into McDonald's. I went into McDonald's yesterday morning for breakfast, and I was struck by how little print there was on the now digital menus. So the hamburgers were turning on the sign up there. They're now these flat screen TVs. And while I was standing there, all of a sudden they all changed, and I had to completely reorient myself to the various pictures that were there. Now, if you ask the person, "Now, do you have this?" even though it's not on your menu, they'll say, "Oh yeah, of course." But somehow the menu is not to inform you of all of the selections anymore. It's to make your mouth water. And I want you to ponder what's happening. Young people, you need to understand that you are living in a culture that is more and more oral all the time. And you need to learn to use your ears, especially in the church, and especially with your parents, to hear the things that your parents are teaching you. Because sometimes you will not hear them over and over and over again. Are you ready to lay hold of that which is true, that which resonates in your heart? Wow, this is wisdom. I need to get wisdom. I need to lay it up in my heart and practice it in my life. So consider today five aspects of Jeremiah's calling that apply to us today. And again, I have in mind in a particular way young people. I don't know how old Jeremiah was when God called him to this ministry, but I know he was not an old man. And I know that because Jeremiah himself says down here in verse 6, "I am only a youth." So we have a youth fellowship in our church. And I am persuaded that God is in the business of calling youth to real and deep and life-shaping commitments to the Lord Jesus Christ that will guide them for the rest of their lives. And young people, I want to say to you, you may not be aware of how God called people you think of as not youth, people with white hair, people who are older. But go and talk to some of the senior members of this congregation and learn how God shaped their lives for the rest of their lives when they were also youth. God is calling people to himself. Let's look at this passage today under these 5 points briefly. Point number one, my purpose was determined before I was born. Look at verses 4 and 5 as God comes to Jeremiah. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Now, friends, there's an interesting theological discussion that goes on about around verses 4 and 5. There are some people who say, well, this calling is unique. This is not something that happens for ordinary Christians. This happens for Old Testament prophets alone. This knowing and this consecrating is to the office of prophet in the Old Testament. And I can see the logic and the argument of this position. But friends, I believe that this is not telling us so much about the office of Old Testament prophets as it's telling us something about the character and nature of God. Namely, that God is eternal. That God knows and indeed has decreed the end from the beginning. That God calls things into existence. He did that in creation. As God spoke into the darkness and light came into being, and all of the things of creation came into being by God's powerful word. We need to see that God is a predestinating God. That God is a God who is calling a people to himself that he has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. And friends, I've used the word purpose here today with purpose. I want you to see that there are two distinct ways that we think about purpose in our culture. There are some people within a Christian context who think of purpose as something that God graciously gives to you. That you have a purpose, that your life has purpose. And you get up in the morning and you don't go through an existential crisis every morning saying, okay, what's my purpose? But rather you have a settled, calming, life-shaping sense that God has a purpose for your life. But you need to be aware that within our culture, there is a growing influence of what's known as existentialism. And existentialism says this: purpose is not something God gives to you. Purpose is something you invent. You can achieve your dreams. You can be whatever you want to be. There's a way that our culture is teaching our young people to think that says purpose is something for you to invent for yourself. Existentialism means existence precedes essence. And that means it's up to us to create ourselves. Now that we exist, we create our own life. We create our own purpose. But friends, Scripture is clear that God has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. And look at this character of God as it's manifested in Jeremiah's calling. He says, before I formed you in the womb. Notice, God is the one who forms a baby in the womb. And before God did that with Jeremiah, it says, I knew you. Now, this language is important. It's not that God knew something about Jeremiah. It's rather that God knew Jeremiah. Now, this word, the Hebrew word that's translated here as knew or to know, is a word that the Bible uses in a way we don't use it very often. When we think of to know something, we think of to know about something. We've been exposed to this discipline. We know it in our brains. But we need to remember that the Hebrew verb to know is to have intimate acquaintance with, to be the object of love or of understanding. So when it says that God knew Jeremiah, what it's telling us is that God had set his love. God was familiar with Jeremiah and he set his love upon him even before he was physically formed in his mother's womb. Notice also here, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. So again, there's a unique element of this as Jeremiah is called in a special way to be a prophet to the nations. But friends, we can learn something about God as we see that even in the womb, babies are consecrated to God's purpose. That little children can have a keen sense that I am living for God. That as I go through my life, I have a purpose. That I'm not inventing my purpose. I am a Christian. I've been marked by Jesus in my baptism. I've professed my faith in him. I want to live for him and do his will in the world. My purpose was determined before I was born. This leads us then to the second point this morning. As now God has set his love upon Jeremiah. Point number two, we want to consider that God uses inarticulate people to speak his message. God uses inarticulate people to speak his message. Notice that now Jeremiah has an objection. God is sovereignly saying to him, Jeremiah, I am setting you apart to be a prophet to the nations. And Jeremiah comes back. He says, "Ah, Lord, behold, I do not know how to speak." And then notice the reason that's given. "For I am only a youth." I'm young. I don't know all the things that my elders know. I don't know all the knowledge that there is to know out there. How could I be used by you to speak on your behalf? When we consider the calls of the great men in Scripture, we see that they are overwhelmed and immediately sense their inadequacy to speak God's glorious message. Consider that Jeremiah's response here is very similar to Moses' response in Exodus 4:10. Moses says, "I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue." And then the Lord very graciously responds to Moses' questioning of his call. He said, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now, therefore, go, and I will be with you." And then God graciously provides Aaron as Moses' spokesman. So we need to consider that God uses inarticulate people to speak his message. And this should be a real word of hope and of reminder to us as ordinary church members. There are people who have just a knack. They're gifted at speaking clearly the words of God. They've maybe memorized a lot more scripture than you have. Or they're just able to put precise thoughts into clear words that people can understand. There are some people who love to go back and read the Reformers and the Puritans or the Church Fathers. They're able to read through the Bible and just remember lots of different things and how they relate to each other. And friends, that's not all of our gifting. But notice that it wasn't Jeremiah's gifting either. Notice that Jeremiah, we have no record of him graduating at the top of his class. We have no record of him being lauded by his classmates as most likely to succeed, as most likely to speak officially on God's behalf. Jeremiah describes himself using one word here, and it's a reference to his inexperience, a reference to his relatively young chronological age. He says, "I am only a youth." And friends, we can find great comfort in the fact that God used even somebody like Jeremiah to bring a powerful and convicting message from heaven to earth, because he spoke on God's behalf about God's truth. And friends, you don't have to hear some audible voice from heaven. You don't have to have some blinding light shine upon you. You need to have the Word of God, and you need to understand it, and you need to believe it. And then you can open your Bible, and with confidence you can say, "Thus saith the Lord." Do you see how powerful the Word of God is? Because it's not somebody's subjective experience. It is objectively and truthfully the revealed Word of God for all of humanity. This is part of what's at issue in the Protestant cry of sola scriptura. When we obscure the Word of God with human traditions, with human feelings, with human opinions, with controversy, with foolish arguments, the Word of God in its clarity becomes clouded. I understand this right now. I'm looking at you today through one eye that's perfectly clear. It's 2020. It's wonderful. And then if I close my right eye, then all of a sudden there's one big blur. And you might have heard me struggling to read. My arms aren't long enough right now. But believe me, the clarity can be obscured. And when we do not speak the Word of God with boldness, we obscure the truth of what God has revealed to humanity. So don't be afraid of not being fancy enough in your speech. Be bold in bringing the message of God to those around you. This leads us then to the third point this morning. And that is that God expects not excuses, but obedience. Not excuses, but obedience. Notice that once Jeremiah says, "Ah, Lord, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth." God doesn't come back and say, "Oh, well, I don't want to put too much on you. I don't want to have too high expectations. Jeremiah, you can just fulfill your own dreams. You can just do whatever feels comfortable. You can just go with the flow." God comes back to Jeremiah and look at what he says. "But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you,' declares the Lord." Again, friends, this is self-evident. But how often it is that the Word of God comes to us and we say, "Well, that really only fits over here because I'm in this special category. I'm special. I'm gifted or I'm ungifted. There's some way that now I put the Word of God to the side with my own categories." Jeremiah says, "Well, Lord, I'm young. I don't know enough. I haven't been to elite schools. I haven't been approved by all of the people." And God says, "Jeremiah, I don't care. Stop making excuses and do what I've called you to do." And again, friends, we need to be compassionate. We need to be understanding. But we need to expect of one another the discipline of obedience. The discipline of saying, "Yes, sir. I will obey you, sir. Yes, Father. Because you're my Father and I love you, even though this is going to be hard, I will do it. Yes, Mother. Yes, Teacher. Yes, Boss. Yes, Professor. Yes, Officer of the Law." And friends, I'm bothered by our American despising of authority, because that is not how God works. When Jeremiah makes excuses, God says, "But Jeremiah, I'm with you. So go, do what I'm asking you to do, say what I'm asking you to say." And friends, my experience is that when the moment comes when I actually open my mouth to confront an unbeliever in their unbelief, that is one of the most terrifying experiences in my adult life. And I remember that if anything, it was more scary when I was a kid. But how important it is for us to know that God is with us. And He will give us the words in the moment to speak. And we don't have to say everything about everything. We have to bear witness to the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And again, it's helped me to see we don't have to talk about all of these complicated things. And that's, in a sense, that's my job. That's the elders' jobs to see all of the truths of the Christian faith and to keep them in proper relationship and all of these things. But friends, your job is to bear witness to the gospel of Christ. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And I have come to the place where I believe I've had people ask me, "So, Pastor, what exactly is the gospel?" And I like to define it this way. The gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose from the dead, and ascended up into heaven, where He reigns over all people and all nations. That's the gospel. It's a pretty simple message. And everything else that Christianity is flows out of this truth. And so our job is to not make excuses, but to obey. This leads us then to verse 7, where he says specifically, "Whatever I command you, you shall speak. Notice that the command comes from God, and the physical words, the physical speaking, comes from Jeremiah. There's this close association between God and God's ambassador, between the Creator and His emissary, between the sovereign and His minister. We need to see that this is the essence of what prophecy is all about. It's speaking not the words or opinions of men, but speaking with authority as a representative of God. So point number four, your mouth belongs to Jesus. I don't know if you've thought a lot about mouths, about your mouth, about the potential that your mouth brings to God's world. About how words impact the entire direction and lives of people. I love to hear testimonies of those in our congregation who can go back and remember specific conversations they had decades ago that changed the course of their life forever. And I'm sure if you talk to the person who was speaking to them at the time, and said, "Are you aware that you are defining a destiny for this person?" They would say, "Whoa, a lot of pressure here." But God uses regular people speaking the words of God to one another to shape lives. I was speaking with someone the other day who was in their 70s, and they were telling me about when they were in first grade in Sunday school. And the impressions that and the teaching that they could remember specific topics. I have a memory from when I was either 4 or 5 years old of Beth Blackwood teaching about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And she helped me understand that the Holy Ghost is another way of saying the Holy Spirit. And so you don't ever have to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. He's not a ghost in the sense that he's scary. He's a ghost in the sense that he just doesn't have a body like men. And the lights went on and I said, "Oh, like we can love the Holy Spirit." What a powerful thing it was. "So to whom, to all, to whom I send you, you shall go." Remember, go make disciples of all the nations. There's a going that's involved. God may call some of you to go in real ways in the years to come. "And whatever I command you, you shall speak." Go get in that place where you're close to people who need to know Jesus and tell them about Jesus. His death, his resurrection, his ascension, and his present reign over all things. And this leads us then to the fifth point this morning. Because friends, I assure you that if you do this, you'll be intimidated. You'll be afraid. But notice what God says, verse 8. "Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you. I am Emmanuel." Remember that the name of God, Emmanuel, just means God with us. Emmanu means with us, and El on the end is the short form of God's personal name, God with us. He says over and over in the Bible, "I will be with you, I will be in you, I will be your help, I will be your guide, I will be your protector. I am with you to deliver you," declares the Lord. And so the point here, point number five, is you can be brave because God is with you. God is with you. Friends, God by His Spirit comes and dwells in human hearts. Of course God is in heaven. Of course God is everywhere. But God is in you. And as you walk into a place where you feel the spiritual oppression of lies and you feel far from the familiar and you wonder, "Can God use my faltering speech in this moment?" You feel like little tiny miniature David and this great Goliath. And you say, "What can I do?" You can speak with boldness. You can stand confidently upon the revealed word of God. And you can say what God is calling you to say. "Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you," declares the Lord. And so in conclusion today, I would just remind us that God calls us when and where and how He will. And His calling is real, and it must be responded to in faith. To reject the call is to rebel against the Lord. When God calls you, you must let His sovereign word shape your life. And what we'll see is that Jeremiah began a 40-year ministry that involved physical dangers, involved him being put in prison, involved him being thrown in a well and sinking up to his armpits in mud. It involved him calling people who claimed to be prophets of God false prophets and them retaliating against him. But friends, Jeremiah's life was shaped for the rest of his life by the call of his sovereign Lord. Let's close together in prayer. O Lord our God, how we thank you for calling Jeremiah. We thank you for the manifold blessings that flowed out of a life that was dedicated to your purpose. Lord, thank you that Jeremiah sustained the faith of your people in the midst of great judgment that was falling upon the land. That, Lord, lies and deceit and rebellion and hard-heartedness and stiff-neckedness were exposed for what they were. And Lord, in the midst of it, Jeremiah testified again and again to Jesus. We pray, O Lord, that you would help us to be like Jeremiah, to be confident and resting in our call that we receive from you. Lord, call some here today to particular acts of service, to particular steps of faith, to bring the gospel to a particular neighbor that is on their heart. We pray, O Lord, that you would help us to not be ashamed of our relative youth. The apostle told Timothy, "Let no one despise your youth, but set the believers an example in your speech, in your conduct, in your love, in your faith, and in your purity." O Lord, use the youth of this church to stir us all to the idealism of faith, to the hope that overcomes, to the faith that is willing to endure challenges and even rejection of the name of God. Lord, help us to not just float through our lives. Help us to not drift, because, Lord, if we drift, we will drift away from you. Help us to be pilgrims on the journey to the promised blessings of heaven itself, that, Lord, we might walk, that we might hike, and, Lord, with faithfulness and with vigor and with a lively faith burning in our hearts, that we might walk through this life and right on into the eternal life that you've promised. O Lord, lead us and guide us in these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.